This is Roro's Rantings with Israel activist and advocate Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, 73 rocket alerts since 4:45. What is going on?
Well, let's get straight into it. And I hear you discussing how those sounds affect you. Imagine how it affects us here. And, you know, just for us here to hear it on radio and to hear it, you know, just down the road from where we are living is profoundly, profoundly traumatic. But let's get into it. Over 70 rockets and mortars fired from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel in the last half an hour. The Israeli Air Force is responding with massive bombardments of targets. I just want to make that very, very clear. We are not just responding. We are responding to legitimate military targets, all of which are cleared by Dabla, the military advocate general. What we do know so far is a mortar has hit an empty bus, but the shrapnel did seriously wound a motorist nearby in their car. Rockets have also hit homes in Sderot and Netivot, and the police have dispatched sapper units to Sderot and Ofakim, where rockets have been landing. This is a very, very serious, very seriously, rapidly escalating situation. We do know that a man who was injured by standing near a bus in the Gaza Strip has been, the Gaza periphery, has been evacuated to Be'er Sheva Soroka Medical Center. His injuries are serious. Another Israeli lightly injured. So this escalation has seen direct hits on several homes, as well as vehicles, and seriously injured people. This comes off the news last night, or the escalation last night, where more rockets and mortars were fired. This coupled with a covert operation by the Israeli Defense Forces. The exact details we do not know. We will not know. Prime Minister Netanyahu has cut short his trip to Paris and will be meeting with our Security Council pretty soon. And I just want to emphasize that we are not in a state of war. We don't know if there will be a war. What we are in is a
ceasefire.
State of yes. escalation.
So, Roland, can we talk about the ceasefire? It's the worst ceasefire in history.
Went out the window over the weekend, where Qataris who were delivering financial aid with the help of Israel and Hamas were bombarded with rocks. The ceasefire was also breached when infiltrators managed to get through the fence into southern Israel and set fire to several greenhouses. That is in clear violation of the ceasefire agreement, which currently does not exist. The ceasefire agreement, as you can see by the rapid escalation, is now over. We did lose a very high-ranking soldier, Lieutenant Colonel. We will not know his name. This has not been cleared for publication. But to quote Prime Minister Netanyahu, President Rivlin, and the Chief of Staff, Ramatkal Gadi Eisenkot, the State of Israel owes a huge debt of gratitude to, we will call him Lieutenant Colonel Mem. His family have been notified. His funeral has been held, but his identity will be withheld from the public. He was 41 years old and leaves behind a wife and two children. We have also, in our raid, killed 7 Palestinians, Hamas operatives, as well as a very, very senior member of the Hamas. This is the situation that we are currently standing in. Things are deteriorating quite rapidly, and Iron Dome missile defense systems have been deployed and have intercepted several projectiles.
Rolene, our listeners weighing in here, and okay, aside for the criticism of the music, but okay, so Unsigned says Israel needs a new defense minister. That leftist, politically correct party is bad news for Israel.
You're talking about Lieberman being leftist, politically correct.
Well, if he's anything
well,
but politically
correct. I think it's very easy to you know, throw around terms like leftist. And here, you know, I would really caution people. You know, there are many elements to the left, and not all leftists are anti-Israel. We have elements within our government who are more left-leaning that aren't anti-Israel. And you know, I really would caution against this. Also, Minister of Defense Avigdor Lieberman is not known to be left or even center at all. Also, what we do have to understand, you know, none of us are military experts, the likes of which we have in our security services, the Israeli Defense Force and the Israeli Air Force. These are very, very delicate operations. We cannot go in and just flatten Gaza. You know, that is not who we are as an army. It's not who we are as a country. It is not who we are as a Jewish nation. And I understand and I hear your frustration. And, you know, you can imagine how we all sitting here in Israel can share your frustration. But at the end of the day, this is a military situation. And as such, military decisions have to be taken. And these are not easy decisions to take at all. We have to consider the humanitarian aspect as well as try and neutralize the threats to our national security as well.
And I suppose the reality on the ground is that the people in Gaza are not their leaders. And I think that that's very important. The leadership might be working with different factions. The average person in Gaza is probably not shooting rockets, Rolene.
Well, Kathy, I think you put it absolutely perfectly. We've got to separate civilians from their leaders.
Yeah.
And we have seen this in a number of our conflagrations with our neighbors in the south, where we continue to provide humanitarian aid, even when we are in situations that are extremely tense and where we have gone for very high escalation, as well as providing field hospitals. And, you know, what we do have to know, and it's exactly as you've just said, Kathy, there's a big difference between civilians and leaders, and many of them are prevented from coming to Israeli field hospitals in these situations. So I think we have to take a step back, and I know and I empathize with our listeners that sometimes it's very frustrating, you know, when you hear these rocket alert after rocket alert. We have to take a step back and try and assess the situation from a much bigger perspective to look at what we are dealing with on the ground.
Yeah. Clive actually weighing in, he says, when you show weakness, this is what you get. And my question to you is, considering the human factor in Gaza, which is the most densely populated place on the planet, in fact, I remember that was a few years ago. I don't know if it still is. It might very well be. But when Israel goes into Gaza, they very much take note and try and deal humanely with the human element. So what do? They drop pamphlets. They send SMSs to the citizens of Gaza saying, we're going to bomb that area. You need to move, which, of course, is not very good tactically from Israel, for Israel, because obviously if the citizens of Gaza know, then so do that, you know, your militant or your terror groups. So, you know, but at some point you've got to just do the moral thing and let God do the rest. And because sometimes things are just too big for us to cope with. And I'm saying us as humanity, Rolene. That's my personal feeling. Weigh in on it. By the way, another rocket.
You know, I agree with you. And just to update you all, we now have more than 80 rockets fired from Gaza into Israel. But just back to the point that you are making.
There's one rocket going off at the moment in Nachal Oz and Alumim. That's going off at the moment. That's in southern Israel.
We've got in the last 30 minutes 80 rockets. I just want to also, you know, go back to the point that you're making about our humanity versus our military capability. after Operation Cast Lead, we had a number of international generals in Israel to assess the situation or to look at and examine the rules of engagement between the IDF and Gaza. These are generals from many Western countries, and they said Israel has changed the rules of engagement in a time of war because it is unheard of that a country warns its civilian population, especially when their civilian infrastructure has been used as weapon storage facilities and platforms to fire rockets and projectiles. But Israel, because of Pikud HaNefesh, because of the purity of arms, we respect human life above all things. Make no mistake, if you are a terrorist and you are launching at us, you will pay with your life. But if you are a civilian, you know, we make the clear distinction, and I'm very proud of our army for doing this, between civilian and legitimate military target.
You know, looking at where these rocket alerts have gone off, it's awfully close to Jerusalem.
It's awfully close to all of us. I sit here in Modi Inn with, and we've got an Iron Dome battery, bearing in mind that we're the closest to a major target, which is the airport. So, you know, it's very unnerving for all of us, wherever you are in Israel, but most especially for our citizens of the South. And I urge everybody to please keep our civilians who are in the South in your thoughts and in your prayers tonight. And our brave forces of the IDF who are now doing all they can to protect the state of Israel.
So you've put your finger on exactly the issue that I want to raise with Rolene. I believe she's on the line. Rolene, are you there?
I'm here just with a quick update. We do have Tseva Adom or red alert sirens as far as the Dead Sea area and Hebron. No reports of damages or injuries in those areas. We do have confirmed at least four people who have been injured in the last 40 minutes, lightly injured, one seriously injured, and several homes struck directly by rockets and mortars.
So did you hear my question to Simon?
I heard the end of the question.
Okay, so
I heard
the
end of the question. So you're going to have to update me.
All right. Do you think it's coincidental, Rolene, that Qatar pays over all this money last week and all of a sudden there is this massive escalation with Israel and there are rockets coming left, right and center? I mean, rockets are not cheap. It's not a cheap exercise.
Well, it certainly does raise a very important question. You know, we do know that Qatar have an alliance with Iran. Iran fund very heavily Hamas in the south, Hezbollah in the north. We also know that Qatar has been isolated largely by many Arab states for their alliance with Iran. And the 50,000 that was promised to help alleviate humanitarian disaster in Gaza, you know, if this has been rerouted to financing terror, then I think that it's very evident that that there's nothing altruistic about this at all, that it is there to, as you've just said, fuel more terror attacks. But this coming in just literally seconds, and I'm getting second-by-second updates, Islamic Jihad have issued a statement taking responsibility for the rocket fire, saying that this is a natural response in the name of the Palestinian people to the killing yesterday of Hamas commander Nur Barake during the raid on the Gaza Strip, which I just want to emphasize killed a high-ranking soldier in the Israeli special forces and injured another. And, you know, just to, you know, inform our listeners that when these situations do happen, those of us who are here, who have friends who serve, family who serve, the sons of family who serve, the frantic phone calls begin to make sure that anybody we know who's serving is, you know, has returned safe and sound. And our thoughts and prayers are with Lieutenant Colonel Mem. We just know he's been identified with the Hebrew letter Mem, and you know, may his memory be a blessing to all. But yeah, it certainly does raise the question: has the and it remains to be seen if that humanitarian aid, the $50,000, has been delivered to the some 100 families that Qatar and Hamas said that they had identified as worthy recipients.
Rolene, does Israel carry out operations of this nature on a regular basis?
Well, if they do, we won't know about it. That's the thing. This was a covert operation. There are many debates around the situation at the moment. Was it botched? Did something go wrong? Did we lose our narrative in this? Is this, you know, is this why it is? It has become public domain. You know, it also raises the debate again, have we gone back to where we are using the system of targeted killings of high-ranking Hamas or Islamic Jihad or other terror leaders? We haven't heard about targeted killing at least for a while. You know, it's very unusual for news of a covert operation to make it into the public domain, and yeah, it's certainly up for debate today. But then over the last year, the army and security forces have done things that that really haven't been within the previous credo of the army, and this just in: a teen is in critical condition after a rocket strikes a bus. I will just clarify for you in a moment if it is the empty bus that we were talking about earlier, or if this is a new bus. No, this is the civilian that was severely injured earlier on. It has been confirmed that this is a 19-year-old who was hit by shrapnel from the mortar fired from Gaza into Israel, and he has been evacuated to Soroka Hospital.
Rolene, I'm just trying to understand who's doing what to whom here. The fact that Islamic Jihad has taken responsibility for the attacks, what's the relationship between them and Hamas?
Excellent question. Well, Hamas, as we know, runs the Gaza Strip. They targeted, they are mandated, should I say, with the care of the Gaza Strip, and anything that happens from the Gaza Strip into Israel, they are responsible for. And very often when we have these escalations, it's not necessarily Hamas, but an offshoot or another terror group, in this case Islamic Jihad. But the Israeli government does and continues to blame Hamas, because Hamas are responsible for reining in these renegade terror groups. And they're all related in some way. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the new coalition that they have formed of terror organizations. And Islamic Jihad is just one of those in this coalition of terror organizations.
Now, for what it's worth, Hamas has offices right here in South Africa. So there you go. Rolene, one of our listeners saying that Clive actually says most of the population support the terrorists. Would you agree with that? Or would you disagree with that?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that we have to look at the situation. It's a very, very precarious one for Gazan civilians. Hamas controls the strip. In this, they control the education system, they control the voting system, they control people's salaries, they control the movement of people in the Gaza Strip. And if you are seen to not be supporting Hamas, you could pay with your life. It's something very, very important that we need to keep in mind. I think that, and from experience, speaking to ordinary Gazans, they don't want this. They don't want a situation where they are ruled by an autocracy that invites more and more conflict onto the Gaza Strip. These are people that are enduring a grave humanitarian crisis. They want to earn a living. They want to feed their families. They want to have some kind of a normality. And this is the situation where we would like to get back to, because it's not in anybody's interest, not Israel, not Gaza, for there to be a collapsed economy and grave humanitarian crisis on our doorstep. So I think that the average Gazan is not supportive of Hamas unless they absolutely have no choice but to be.
All right. Can I just address this one SMS? Clive is arguing with you on SMS. He says they voted.
You're welcome to argue with me.
You can argue with me on a blog as well. It's called Roro's Rantings. He says they voted them in, being the population of guards are voted in Hamas. But let me take you back, Clive, to a time in this country that was called apartheid, when many white people voted for the nationalist government, not because they considered themselves racist, but they voted them in to keep other specific parties out. Do you remember that? Just putting it out there.
I just want to also address something while we're talking about the vote. And Clive actually raises a very important question. He says yes. The people of Gaza voted in Hamas, and he's right. However, we have to look at Hamas. Hamas runs on two structures. They run on the social welfare and humanitarian side, and they run on the more political and militant side. And the side that was voted in was the side that is more appealing from a social perspective. So, you know, we're dealing with a very, very well-organized, well-entrenched organization.
A red alert is currently sounding in Israel.
All right, that's going off in Nirim and Ein HaShlosha. And, okay, Roline, sorry about that.
Thank you, because you can imagine, as traumatic as it is for you, multiply that for us here. Because we've had far-reaching missiles, which they have in their storage facilities, hit as far as Tel Aviv and Modi'in. So, you know, we're all prepared for that horrible run to the shelters.
Where do you think this is going to go, Roline? Do you think that there's going to be another truce brokered by Egypt? You know, how long can that to and fro continue? Because all the time there's resentment building up on both sides.
I'm hoping that this is a situation that we're going to be able to contain very quickly. None of us, neither side, wants an all-out war. Hamas are doing this, and Islamic Jihad are doing this to prove a point. If you want to come for our leadership, we're going to retaliate and retaliate strongly. From our side, we're going to be wanting to make the same point. If you are going to attack us and put our communities under threat, make no mistake, we are going to come for you. So it is... It is a very, very precarious situation. I'm sure very soon we're going to be hearing appeals for restraint and proportionate response.
A red alert is currently sounding in Israel.
All right, so that a red alert is going off in Ashkelon, in the industrial area.
Moshav Tkuma. We've got now 100 rockets from Gaza, mostly intercepted by Iron Dome and other in the areas of Netivot, Shara, Negev, Sderot, Ashkelon, and in the Dead Sea region. We have news that
area.
Hamas have now announced the bombardment of the enemy. Escalating very, very quickly. Spare a thought also for our firefighters who are on the ground trying to extinguish blazes and fires as quickly as possible. From the other side, we have 3 Palestinians apparently wounded. Hamas has also now claimed responsibility for these rocket attacks. And the Pikud al-Oref, the Home Front Command, ordering residents of communities near the Gaza Strip to remain inside their shelters until further notice. Residents of Be'er Sheva and other parts of the northern Negev are told to stay within close distance of their shelters or other protected spaces. And the army has said, please, no large gatherings in southern Israel. And we will be watching this because we will be updated and need I speak too soon, where we have news from Russia. Russia has said they are concerned over Gaza flare-up, and they've asked both sides to show restraint. I'm sure we're going to hear the same language as we always hear coming in from world leaders.
Rolene Marks, thank you very much. That is where we leave it today. Thank you for staying with us extra time. And
be safe.
Yeah, be safe. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.